Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Mike Wash, the Government Printing Office Chief Information Officer. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with some basics. I think GPO's mission is pretty straightforward. People understand it. Oh, you guys have been around for, I think you just celebrated your 200th anniversary?
No, it's the beginning of our 150th anniversary. On June 23rd was the 150th anniversary of the joint resolution that was signed by President Buchanan that was the beginning of the creation of the Government Printing Office.
So I aged you guys a little bit. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Don't want to make you guys feel older than you are. But anyways, 150 years, I mean, you guys have been around a long time. And you do some really the most interesting work between passports and the printing of the official congressional record. So let's just start with some basics about you as the CIO. How do you support the GPO's mission?
The information technology area at this agency is and has become a very central support function for all the operations within the agency. All of our printing processes today have a digital basis. So composition is done digitally, and there's a direct-to-plate process to move content down into the printing area. That is all now digital. So the IT infrastructure and the operations aspects of this agency really rely on the agency really relies on the IT infrastructure. So a part of the CIO's or the office of the CIO's function is really 24/7 information operational support. So we're really a production operation as well. But in addition to that, we are in the IT organization central to the activities of developing new functionality to help keep us well prepared for meeting the market needs as we move into the future, which has taken us to the projects such as our federal digital system, FDSIS, which is an online access to official and authentic federal publications in a trusted repository, as well as other activities associated with the continuing of making GPO positioned so that it can meet its mission going forward.
You're doing two things, really. I mean, if you think about the CIO's office and the CIO's job, you're worried about that 24/7 support of the functionality around printing, which I imagine is really a technical capabilities that you need to know. And then you're also dealing with the technical issues of, you know, cybersecurity, infrastructure. How do you balance those two kind of, in many ways, differing needs?
It's really addressed in a structure for the organization, and I think you've touched on a number of those aspects. I have a director of operations in IT that really manages the 24/7 activities, so that the job of that director is to make sure that our IT systems that support our critical functions in the agency stay up all the time. And that includes headquarters here, as well as our alternate computing capabilities that are off-site, where we mirror a lot of data, and we have an alternate passport facility down in Mississippi. So the IT operational functions all fall under that director of operations. Then there's another organization, which is IT security, which is the watchdog and continues to monitor all the IT security aspects to protect the agency from any sort of, you know, cyber attack, but also focuses on internal security screening of our systems to make sure that they remain safe. So it's essentially guarding the borders, if you will, to make sure nothing gets in. But in the event something gets in, you know, could have been carried in by an employee with a thumb drive, we have the continual screening of our systems to make sure that we monitor those. But that's under the director of IT security, or our chief information security officer that works for me. And then another end of the spectrum is the upstream and the technology management piece, where we have a program office that really focuses on what the agency needs are from a customer base, as well as what our agency customers and congressional customers need for systems to be able to support their needs on behalf of GPO. and the development staff to develop those systems, our enterprise architecture initiative, which is the blueprinting of technology to make sure that we're all kind of working off of the same song sheet as we progress into the future. So it's a structured organization that goes from the voice of customer and voice of agencies to figure out what we need to do into a group of how we can actually achieve those needs. This is the design group, and then eventually into the operations group that makes sure that once it's been designed and developed and deployed, it stays functioning, meeting the agency needs 24/7.
And you are the conductor of all of that.
That's what the CIO does,
you,
yes.
You have your baton and you're, you know,
yes,
making sure it's going. Actually, it was a great segue because about 18 months ago, I had the Government Printing Office Chief Technology Officer, Reynold Schweikart, on the show, and I asked him to compare his role to yours. So let me ask you that same question about how do you as CIO work with Reynold as the CTO?
It's a very close relationship, but just as I went through the CIO's function of starting with the voice of customer, voice of agency needs, and eventually winding up in systems that are maintained 24/7, there's a similar type of comparison between the role and responsibility of the CTO and the CIO, where CIO has the things we just described, and the CTO really looks more upstream to technologies and emerging technologies that could start to become of interest or critical to GPO and in the information systems to look at possibly implementing in the future. So I see it as probably a 3 to 5 year look out in time to identify those technologies that could eventually roll into a system that we would develop. Plus, Reynold, as the CTO, has a very sharp focus and detailed focus on the security technologies and the emerging things, particularly in support of our secure products like the passport. So he's very much into that. And the CTO is also a strong advocate for our capabilities up on the Hill with the House and the Senate staff.
And I was going to ask you about that passport issue. I'm sure we'll get to it later a little bit. But, you know, looking out 3 to 5 years in terms of how to secure documents better, those changes must happen so quickly. And you know, what's today, you can't even think about what's going to be tomorrow in many ways. How does that kind of meet? How is he going to give you that information for you to help implement?
A lot of it is, first of all, realizing there is a lot of change and kind of dealing with it. So it's like the first step is recognition that there's going to be a lot of change and you need to stay current with it. And we've done that here at GPO by establishing a CTO and a CIO. So the CTO can go out and monitor and make sure that there's a good awareness of what the changes are so that we can internally plan for the integration of those changes. But secondly, I think it's participation. The CTO, Reynold, participates in a lot of the external activities where there's broad communities of interest, discussions about the technologies.
And I want to shift back to your office a little bit. Real quick, just give us a little bit of an idea of how your office is made up, federal employees versus contractors, what's your IT budget. You sound like your infrastructure is pretty diverse.
Our infrastructure is pretty diverse. I'll start with that. But it's getting more controlled. We've come from an era of as recent as 7 or 8 years ago where there were multiple IT groups within the agency, and there's been a consolidation of a central IT group. And then through that time period, we've started to standardize on types of components and types of operating systems and types of equipment, et cetera, that we're going to deploy. So we really have a strategy that we developed a couple of years ago of how we're going to manage this complex infrastructure and get it into a position that it will be more manageable than trying to go across a very diverse array of equipment and systems to support. And that extends here at headquarters as well as our regional offices and regional facilities. So it's an overall plan, and you know that's a strong shout out to the Enterprise Architecture Organization that is helping to manage what technologies are in place, which are in what we would call containment, which we're not going to really extend any further because eventually they're going to be replaced with something else. Contractors, I think we probably have about 30 or 40 contractors right now. The heaviest concentration of contractors at this agency is the developers around our federal digital system. But we have contractors that help do the configuration and integration of those tools to meet our needs as an agency. So the heaviest focus of contractors is really with that program. But then we have contractors on other programs.
And just real quick, your IT budget for 2010?
The IT budget for 2010 is just a little bit over $30 million.
Right, very nice. Very nice. Contractors who, vendors who listen to my show always are interested in what agencies' IT budgets are. So appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to you about some of your priorities. I think you gave us a little bit of a preview earlier in the conversation. You are listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the Government Printing Office Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the Government Printing Office Chief Information Officer. Now, Mike, before break, we talked a little bit about your role as CIO. We talked about how your office is set up. Let's move on to some of your priorities. You mentioned the key word there, FedSys, FDSys. Everybody, it's one of those projects we've been following your progress on, both here at Federal News Radio and very much in the IT community. Give us a status check of that and some of the other things you're working on.
And it's clearly one of the priorities. You're absolutely right. FDSys, is particularly in the next few months, is going to come out of what we've been calling a public beta. And we define the conditions for exiting public beta of this new infrastructure of the federal digital system. And the conditions are that all of the legacy data from GPO access, the system that's been in operation for 16 years or so, all of that content needed to move into this new repository known as FDSys. That's been completed. The next condition in order to make FDSys come out of beta would be for us to have a failover capability so that if anything ever happened at headquarters where the production site for that system is, it would fail over so that there would be what we call continuity of access of the official and authentic government publications. That system has been built. It's at an off-site location, and we're in the final testing activities right now to ensure that it's going to function as it needs to function. And then at that point, we can start to move out of the beta stage and make the federal digital system, FDSys, the system of record for official and authentic publications of government. Clearly one of our top priorities. Another high priority here at GPO and within the IT organization is to continue in our progress of replacing or retiring legacy systems. We have a number of legacy systems, and actually we touched on this a little bit before break, and my reference to enterprise architecture helping us manage our convergence down to a set of manageable technologies into the future. We have a number of old applications that have been around for decades, essentially, that were developed on mainframe tools, and still we have a mainframe that we run here. But those tools and applications just need to be managed, and some of them can stay on a mainframe application, but others can be replaced with an aggregation of new systems to provide functionality that had been in place and enhance functionality moving into the future. So our progress on what we call legacy system management is one of our key priorities. Just late last week, we awarded a contract for hosting our mainframe offsite. And, you know, we have an AMDAL mainframe here at the agency that's been here for over 30 years. And we've found a opportunity to actually host the functionality of that mainframe offsite, which provides us with production capabilities as well as continuity of operation capabilities as in a hosted site. And the award of that contract allows us to start really moving that functionality out of this building and off of a single mainframe into a hosted environment, which is a huge step forward for GPO and its continuity of operations and readiness. So that, too, is a very high priority. And then lastly, on the priority front, we have some other key system initiatives and projects that are also ongoing. And in May of this year, we awarded a contract to help with the design of what we call a composition system replacement application. And composition is the function of actually taking the copy or the content and composing it into a form so that it can be ready for publishing. And there we've been using a 30-plus year-old composition system that has been adapted and adopted over time to do various functions for congressional and other agency publishing or composition functions. We need to move that into future and into an XML type of composition capability. And it was another big step forward for us this year of awarding the contract for the design activities on that tool, which will start to roll into a development activity probably late this year, and early aspects of that system can start to be tested next year. But that's one of our high priorities as well.
All right, a lot on your plate. There's a lot I want to follow up with you. Let me start with the FedSys, because I think that's, again, one of your biggest priorities, one of the things that we've talked about several times. When you say you're going to move out of beta, so when you move out of beta, are we talking about maybe early 2011? And what are people going to see? Are they going to see a whole new web page with whole new features? Or is really this a back-end thing that maybe people won't see for still another year, major changes on the front end?
Now, actually, the move from beta to production is going to be almost transparent, and most people won't even realize it. Because what we've done over the last 18 months as we've been in this public beta is expose the system in its really final form, allowing the community to become aware of and comfortable with the tools and functionality of FDSys as a primary access tool for federal publications. And during that 18 months, we've continued to add content into that repository as we've migrated data out of GPO Access and into FDSys. So it was really, I mean, think of it as like it's a weird analogy, but think of it as we've been filling the bucket of the repository of FDSys with the content that we had in digital form and GPO Access, and adding the day forward digital content into the FDSys bucket. Once we're comfortable that everything is in there and we have a robust and reliable and backed up system with the failover, we'll be confident to say this system, which everybody's been using now for over a year, is our system of record, replacing GPO Access as the system of record.
Let me just jump in real quick. I go to the Federal Register every day, well, almost every day. I'm like one of the few people who probably read the Federal Register way too much. And I still go to the GPO Access website. Is that uh-huh. Am I using FedSys at that point?
No, you're really not. If you go to www.fdsys.gov, there's a direct link for today's Federal Register on that site, and that'll bring you right into the Federal Register, and you'll be able to access the content on FDSys, which, you know, since we've been in a beta form, it's the same as what's on GPO Access, but the user interface and the interaction will probably be much easier for you using FDSys.
Will that GPO Access site eventually go away?
Yes, it will go away, and you know there's a sunset activity. It's kind of a gentle, kinder way of saying we're turning it off, but we're sunsetting GPO Access probably starting late September, early October.
Oh, no. You're going to break my heart.
No.
I love the GPO access site.
Well, it won't be an abrupt experience for you, trust me. There'll be ways of transitioning you to the new tool.
Will you walk me through it?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, we're going to take another break. I'm going to have to, when we take a break, I have to cry in my coffee around the lack of GPO access. But when we come back, we're going to talk some more about your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer. Now, Mike, before break, I composed myself. I'm okay to move on to the Federal Register, the 2.0 of it, and we're going to talk about that in a sec. But before we move on, one of the other parties is the contract awarded earlier in August around a mainframe hosting contract. You said you're going to do some off-site hosting. Who is that contract to? And when you say offsite, you're not picking up the computer and moving it, right?
No, we're not picking up the computer and moving it. This is a really common type of thing that very large companies have done to help with them in managing, again, their infrastructure and making for a robust environment. We're working with a company that hosts large information companies like Citibank. And essentially what this is you're working with a company that can emulate the environment that we have with our mainframe and then move our applications that are currently residing on our mainframe into their hosted environment where it's essentially a virtual GPO mainframe in their environment so that our day-to-day operations with mainframe applications will look and run identically as if the mainframe is sitting up in our data center. The additional advantage of having it hosted in this virtual GPO mainframe environment is that can be replicated so that there's a full continuity of operations capability with the applications on that mainframe, and that's one of the big benefits of this award. So it'll take us probably about 4 or 5 months to migrate our applications over to this virtual hosted environment, go through the testing, make sure everything works, and then we can move from a test environment into a production environment for the mainframe application.
I want to jump over to something else that we talked about, the Federal Register. We talked about the changes that FDCIS will kind of be happening. One of the other things you kind of mentioned was the idea of applying Web 2.0 capabilities to some of your new products. Talk a little bit about how you're using those new kind of social media capabilities, how you're addressing those security concerns, and what's kind of GPO's policy internally for its employees who use social media.
Let's start with 2.0 type of capabilities first of all. 2.0 capabilities, I think generally speaking, are a lot of collaboration type of activities that the end users can collaborate or comment or do things with content. And one of the best examples of that right now within GPO is the work that we've done with the Office of the Federal Register and Federal Register 2.0. And I would encourage everybody to go take a look at this new site. It's federalregister.gov. And what they will see when they visit that site is a modern electronic newspaper format of the Federal Register. So it's like visiting the New York Times or Wall Street Journal online, or pick one of your favorite publications that are online and actively used. Federal Register, the 2.0, actually provides very easy readability of complex subject matter. It organizes the content of the Federal Register in a way that most anyone can go and visit that site and find out what's hot in rules and regulations and track it and see what's going on. But also within that site, there's opportunities to look at what the commenting period is. So, typical in the rules process, there's the opportunity to be able to comment or inspect proposed rules and regulations. That type of capability and interactivity is being built into the new Federal Register site. It's a really, really good example of how the government is moving into that 2.0 space, just in functionality.
We are almost out of time, so let me jump forward to the last question about vendors. A lot of vendors listen to my show. They are very interested in both your IT budget, as we talked about earlier, but also how do you as the CIO prefer to interact with vendors?
Working with GPO, starting about 6 years ago when we were heavily into developing some of our new systems like FDSIS, we developed a process that is certainly great for us, but I think it's also really good for the vendor community. And the process is one of, first of all, expecting GPO to define what it is we need, which is not always an easy task, but just we provide kind of an overview and a concept of a tool or capability or a system that we're working on. And then typically, we do some market research. So in this point, there's an opportunity for the vendor community to approach us. Email works very well. And then if there's an interest, we'll do market research to better understand the tool and capability. But ultimately, as it starts to really converge down, once we understand what we think we want, we post an RFI, a request for information. And the RFI really references the type of function or capability that we're really interested in getting more information on. And then typically following an RFI is what we call an industry day. And it's an event that we actually host here at the government printing office, and it's an opportunity for us in a public forum to describe what it is that we're investigating, what it is we're anticipating doing, a number of things. And then following that is the opportunity for the vendor community to provide capability statements. So they've read what we said we wanted in an RFI. They've heard what we want and have an interaction with question and answers. And then they can provide a capability statement, maybe 10, 20 pages of this is how we believe our technology or our product can help solve the issue that you're addressing. And then from there, we can take those inputs and then many times refine our understanding of what we want, because a lot of times the community can tell us things that we just didn't understand or point out flaws in our thinking. And then eventually, if that initiative continues, it rolls into a request for proposal, and we're really into an acquisitions process at that time.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Mike Wash, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
WFED Washington.